Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, I'm so excited for our guest today. It is my friend and colleague, Dr. Sue Battle. Dr. Battle is a licensed board certified pediatrician. She works at the Advocacy Center. She is a medical examiner for many kids who have been sexually abused. We work very closely together in both of our jobs. And before we get started, I just want to let the parents know in this conversation, we do talk a little bit about sexual abuse and some mature topics. So if you have littles in the car, you might want to listen to beforehand. But today we are diving into how do we talk to our kids about keeping their bodies safe as young kids, and also how to keep our kids safe online. She is incredible because she started this organization called Camp Careful, which helps parents and kids know how to keep their bodies safe. And so this is great for any parent, especially when you don't know when to talk to your kids about certain things, those awkward conversations. And we talk a lot about how important it is to have these conversations with our kids at a young age in a age-appropriate way. So when they get older, they're able to tell us different things. And I love this conversation. I think it's one of the most powerful for any parent to listen to. And so I hope you enjoy this conversation with my friend, Dr. Sue Battle. Hey, Sue, thanks so much for joining us on Be Love, Do Good Podcast. Sue is a friend. It's Dr. Battle. I call you Sue. I'm sorry, Dr. Battle. Dr. Battle is here, and she is going to be talking about all things related to keeping our kids safe online, boundaries. She's done this for years. So before we kind of get started, you're a dear friend of mine. You know, many of people know that my day job is human trafficking. I work with human trafficking survivors, and Dr. Battle and the Advocacy Center is a huge partner of ours. And we work many times with kids who've come from sexual trauma. And so we do that in life together, but I love you just as a friend, and I'm so glad you're on here. So tell us a little bit about what you do, who you are, those kind of things.
So I'm a mom first, and I'm a pediatrician. And so I currently work as the medical advisor and the child sexual abuse examiner at the Advocacy Center. And that's a nonprofit here in Waco in Central Texas that we serve six counties. And I specifically will do child sexual abuse exams on kids who have made an outcry of some sort of sexual abuse or sexual assault happening to them. On the side, related to that, I've been doing this program called Camp Careful for over 15 years now. And that's a program that I created to talk to kids, parents, teachers, educators, kind of all different organizations and types of people about how to help protect our kids. And it's more of a child sexual abuse prevention and education program so that I can, teach parents like how to have these hard conversations about kids' bodies and how to protect themselves. And that's a topic that many of my generation didn't have like education and talks with their parents. I certainly didn't. And so it's something that is really important, I think, for us to have these conversations that may be awkward or weird to have since we ourselves didn't have them as kids. So Camp Careful is really important to me. I've talked to now over 25,000 kids and adults and professionals about how we can protect our kids as adults, because it's really on us and not on kids to protect themselves, but it's really on us adults to help keep them safe. So Camp Careful is another thing that I am really
I love
when
we've talked
about.
Before, we were kind of joking of how honest and vulnerable we are with our kids. And obviously our work helps us have these awkward conversations probably better maybe than other parents who don't live in this world. So tell me a little bit why it is so uncomfortable sometimes to have these very important conversations with our kids. What are you hearing from the 25,000 parents that you have talked to? What is that? Maybe it's a better background. I mean, we joked before, like, I didn't talk to my mom about, you know, having my period. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it, but like, I learned about sex from a book, and that's maybe the last time we maybe talked about those things. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I mean, it's a different generation, right? Like our parents and their parents grew up not talking about private things, and especially not talking about our body. And so I think because they don't know what words to use and how to introduce those topics in conversation to their little kids or to their teenagers, it becomes awkward for the parent. And because of the parent's own discomfort, we then don't want to put that discomfort and uncomfortableness on our children. So we're like, well, it's better. They'll get to it when they're older and they'll figure it out themselves, when that's a horrible way to go through having these hard conversations, because really then the kids will get information from other kids, which will be bad information. Or they just won't talk about it. So to me, I think it's because the parents don't have the tools and the words to use. And so Camp Careful really did start with me having the parents have to come to the Camp Careful with their children, because mostly I was speaking to the parents on, look, see me talking to your children. This is how it was very comfortable for them. They were laughing, they were giggling, and they're still learning about their bodies and protecting themselves. But mostly I'm hoping you are learning as parents so that you can continue these conversations. These are the words I used. I didn't use the word sex. I didn't say abuse. The young kids don't know what that means, but I taught them on what are safety rules, what are body autonomy things, what are consent rules. So these are the ways you have those conversations, and to include both parents and include older generations in your family. It has to be everybody buying into it so that the kids know that they're surrounded by safe people.
So give me some tips right now for the mom who's listening, or the dad who's listening, who's like already getting like sweaty thinking about and talking to their kids about this stuff. But I will say, like, I love how you do it at a young age, because then it's not weird when they're 13 and 14 and my son and I are talking about, you know, or my daughter and I are talking about, you know, periods and, you know, all the different things that could have been weird. So can you give us some tips for the maybe young mom and dad who have little kids, of how to kind of introduce these topics?
Yeah. So we'll start with, and like the Camp Careful program that I have starts at age 3 to 6 year olds, where I'm teaching them first, you know, you can talk to them and be like, hey, you know, like, think about all the rules that mommy and daddy have had for you to keep you safe. Like when we cross the street, what do I teach you about crossing the street? Look both ways, hold mommy's hand, hold daddy's hand, wait till the cars are stopped. So you go over the safety rules that the kids are aware of because you've told them a million times. So then you can introduce like, well, you know, it's also really important for you to understand how to keep your body safe by learning about healthy relationships and healthy body parts and how you can interact with people safely with your body. So the first thing to do is to make sure we know the names of all of our body parts. And so I start easy with the little kids on like, you know, what are these? Eyes, ears, nose, mouth, things that the kids learn at the age of 3. But then you have to extend that to the other body parts that are uncomfortable. And it is a huge disservice to kids to come up with silly body part names for the private parts. So when you call them little wee-wees or front bottom and back bottom, and you know, there's all these nicknames for some reason, you know, kids are taught food names for their private parts, which just blows my mind, right? We have to get past all of that and not refer to our private parts as silly name parts, because that then teaches our kids, well, these are silly, or these are things that we don't really talk about. So, you know, don't ever talk about those things, because then they learn, oh, well, that's something, you know, something I should keep secret, or something I can't talk to mom and dad about. That makes them uncomfortable. So, you know, teach them the body part names. These are your breasts. A boy has a penis and a girl has a vagina, and everybody has a butt or a bottom. And then you tell them, and make sure you know those body parts, but remember, anything that's covered by your bathing suit is private, and private means that's just for you. So nobody's supposed to look and nobody's supposed to touch. Now, of course, for the little kids who still need help in the bathroom and bath time and shower time and pottying and all that stuff, you say the only time that mommy or daddy has to look down here is because we have to help you in the bathroom, or if you're at the doctor's office. So when they're little, teach them body part names, teach them that the parts covered by a bathing suit are private. Private means it's just for you, unless you need help. Mommy and daddy in the bathroom, or if you have special situations where a grandparent, you know, watches over them sometimes, give them those people and the doctor. And then as they get older, once they start taking care of themselves by themselves in the bathroom, then the rule is nobody, unless you're out of the doctor's office or you need help. And so that's not scary to them. Like if you explain to them, that's another safety rule. They're like, oh, okay. And if you tell them every time they're in the bathtub, remember, these are your private parts. I'm only helping you. But otherwise nobody's supposed to look and nobody's supposed to touch. That doesn't give them a scary feeling. They're just like, oh yeah, that's another safety rule. So that's how it starts when they're little. Very easy conversations like that. And never once were you giggly or nervous or calling them silly names. It's just a very matter of fact, this is our body part. This is how you stay safe. And then they grow up learning that. And that is already setting a foundation of body autonomy, body consent. Nobody's supposed to look or nobody's supposed to touch. It's your body.
I love that. And I think a lot of times because we're so awkward, we don't say those things. And then what we've seen, and yes, this is not a podcast to like scare parents of like our kids are going to be abused or, you know, we obviously see some very traumatic things. But I also would say that when we're helping our kids, you know, like you said, like we have rules about don't cross the street unless you look both ways, you know, we're keeping them safe in those ways. As we come up the holiday season and into the new year, many of us parents are exhausted. We've been planning and attending all the celebrations, buying the gifts, and putting intentional effort into making memories for our kids. And if you're feeling like you don't have everything together, like you're being pulled in every direction and just tired, you're not alone. But I invite you to pause and enter into Jesus' invitation to rest. I want to tell you about a new devotional book that's perfect for starting this year off right. It truly was written with the exhausted Christian in mind. The devotional book is called Rhythms, and it was written by Christian Parenting's partner, Ministry First 15, a devotional resource that helps you connect to God daily. Each day of this beautifully designed 28-day devotional invites you to break away from your normal rhythm of waking, eating, working, sleeping, to discover a scripture-based spiritual rhythm that, when practiced, will lead you into a more vibrant, abundant life in every way that matters. Even in the midst of the craziness of life as a parent, Jesus can and will give you rest, and Rhythms will guide you in that direction. For more information and to get a copy of Rhythms, head over to cpgive.org. That's cpgive.org. So as our kids get older, sometimes we see them maybe not wanting to tell us something, or maybe something has happened in the past. How do we help those lines of communication stay open, where when our kids even tell us about whatever and we're not freaking out, you know, not abuse, but like talking about maybe a video they accidentally saw online or something that made them uncomfortable. And many times they don't want to tell us because we freak out. And then they're like, oh my gosh, mom and dad freaked out about that. So how do we as parents kind of take that information in instead of like coming unglued?
Well, first again, like you pointed out, that's why it's so important to start talking to your kids openly about topics like this at a young age. Because again, if you are open and not uncomfortable with having talks about their body, number one, and number two, about things that they may somewhere else hear is like, oh, that's weird. Oh, you're not supposed to talk about things like masturbation, which is normal. So if they are told from outside sources that things involving your body are taboo subjects, then they will not talk about those subjects. But if you at a young age talk to your children about their body and about safety, then they can approach you. The other thing that I recommend for parents is have the conversations ahead of time. Like, be proactive. Like, hey, I know you're only 12 and you're not going to parties yet, but as you start getting older and you are, you know, starting to get into fifth, sixth grade, and you go and do club activities or do things where you're away from us, like, you're going to start being around people that maybe dad and I don't know very well. And so have proactive conversations where you're like, these things might happen. As you get older, you might start going to parties and people might be drinking. People might be smoking. Like, you know, that's really common. So first acknowledge that the things that they may not be doing or thinking about yet will happen. And so if you are proactive about that, then when it does happen, they're not going to be like, oh my God, I can't tell mom and dad. But like, they will actually think, This is what mom talked about. This is what dad was talking about. And so
we even have those fake conversations. Like we joke, like I'm like, okay, now I know this hasn't happened yet. It's probably going to happen. What are you going to do in this situation? Let's pretend. Okay. I'm the person who's doing this, or I'm the person who's doing, you know, that. Okay. Let's talk about how we can, you know, get through that. I love that you said that.
Yeah. So be proactive as parents. Again, even if you're like, okay, well, Dr. Sue was talking about talking to kids about, you know, looking, you know, like pornography. Well, that's so common. So again, even if your kid is not looking at porn, number one, you may not know that. Maybe they were exposed to it by a friend. But if you are having the conversations beforehand, then number one, when it happens to them, they can be like, oh, this is what mom and dad were talking about. And then two, they can say, well, they already know about it and they told me about it. So I'm going to ask them about this because I have questions about it, and I'm not going to ask my friends because it's too embarrassing to ask my friends because they all know about it, whether it's pornography or sex or sexual abuse or whatever it may be. Have you be the one that they know that they can have conversations with it, not just their 12-year-old friend or their 14-year-old's older brother or, you know, somebody else that they can go to. It needs to be you that has those conversations already. And they're like, I feel comfortable talking to them about it because they already know about it. That's the thing is, with sexual abuse prevention too, a perpetrator is going to be less likely to act on a kid who already knows about it and who has already been taught about it and who's the kid that's going to say, no, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to look at that. Then they're going to be like, never mind. I won't touch that kid. Go to somebody else who's not aware. So if you are the parents that are aware and are having the conversations, then if something happens or if they have questions about something, they will know my parents are cool with this. Like they are cool talking about it.
Yeah, I love that. And I think kids, especially, you know, we know based on our work that perpetrators, abusers prey on vulnerabilities. So when we raise these kids who are confident in their bodies, in how they talk about it, hey, mom and dad have already told me this. They're confident to say like, what are you doing? Like, get away from me. You know, that perpetrators most likely and those who abuse are going to be like, nope, not doing that. They're not a vulnerable kid. So we're raising like strong, confident kids who know how to talk and know how to be in their bodies. Another topic that always comes up is online. So the thing that we're kind of seeing and trending is exploitation online, what kids are seeing online, what they're being exposed to. I mean, even a lot of our cases of trafficking are online. We have people who are pretending to be 15, 16-year-old kids that are sliding into the DMs or Snapchat, and it ends up being someone much different. And so talk to me a little bit about protecting our kids online.
So, you know, we'll start first real briefly on the younger kids. So younger kids, obviously, we not have social media accounts, although, you know, I've been doing Camp Careful for so long that it used to be I'd ask the high schoolers how many of you have social media of some sort. You know, maybe a third of them would raise their hand. Now, when I'm asking the elementary school kids, how many of y'all have access or can get on to Instagram or Snapchat? So it may not even be the kids' account, but it's the parents' account, and the kids are getting onto it. So now it's elementary school where they're getting exposed to it. The other thing with young kids that I consider still social media or internet exposure is video gaming. So video gaming is huge. And parents may say, well, no, my kid, I'm a really strict parent and my kids don't have social media. They're safe in the living room and they're playing Minecraft and Fortnite. Well, yes, they are physically safe in your living room, but they are still playing on the playground with strangers because they are on those video games doing group play. So they're playing with strangers on the video games. They have the headphones on half the time. And so they're talking to the strangers. And then they're getting into chat rooms and then giving the person who they think is also 8 years old, who is actually a 45-year-old man, they're giving that stranger maybe their school email address. And then they start having interactions through some other means where the parents just look at them in the living room and they're like, oh, my kid's safe. He's playing video games. So for young kids, they may still get on the internet and look at YouTube and then get exposed to pornography through accidental exposure online. But as they get older and get their own social media accounts, gosh, like you said, that is where a vast majority of sexual predators are hanging out to get exposure to our kids. And parents are not aware of what's happening, because you have a 12-year-old thinking they're talking to another 12-year-old when actually, again, it's a 45-year-old or 50-year-old who may be across town, or they may be in another state or another country. And then they start forming a relationship with these kids and grooming them online, meaning giving them love, attention, maybe sending them money, telling them how great they are, giving them special perks online, or, you know, meeting up with them, giving drugs, alcohol, anything like that, where they're grooming them and getting their attention and love. And then they start exchanging naked pictures or videos. And then that can lead to sextortion. It can lead to them meeting in person and that whole thing that's happening. Yeah. So with teenagers, they say a lot of it is happening through social media.
I think so. For some of like our listeners are like, oh my gosh, my kid would never, you know, that. Okay. So I just want, I've been listening, researching for years on this subject before even I was in this job. And you have one girl who is insecure, maybe about her body, whatever. That's literally every 13-year-old girl, whether they live in the most wonderful house, home, you know, safe environment. That is, you're 13. You don't know. I mean, you're awkward about everything. You have one 13-year-old girl who feels insecure. She posts a picture online. Maybe she doesn't have a private account. Maybe she does. And someone comes on there and says, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Well, how does that make me feel? What does that make me feel? Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I mean, it's that easy. That easy. So tell me, I know there's a phrase that you say that's my most favorite, and I hope you'll say it, but a lot of times parents will ask you, like, how do we keep our kids safe? Do we need this app to keep our kids safe? Like, what do we do? Because we don't want to just say, so for video games, for instance, like, you know, someone might hear this and be like, oh my gosh, my kids are never playing video games again. No, here are some ways to work on that. Or, oh my gosh, my kids are never going to get on their phone again. That's probably not going to happen. They need to know probably how to get on a phone at a certain age. I would say wait the longest time possible to give your kids a phone. And my kids, we're like bribing them. like Holden's not getting social media till he doesn't even want it, but I was like, I will pay you $1,800 if you don't get social media until you're 18. He's like, done and done. I mean, that kid's motivated my money. He's like, done and done. But I also am on his phone with him all the time, and I'm watching what's happening even in texts and the memes that are sending. He doesn't have social media, but his friends do, and they're sending screenshots and all that stuff. So tell me, how do we protect our kids? Like, what do we need? What apps? What all the things? So, I know what you're going
to
say.
So that parents always ask. So, you know, when I do these Camp Tearful talks, yes, I don't mean to scare the parents, and I don't mean for, because they're always like, okay, well, I'm never letting my kids go to a sleepover. I'm never letting my kids have Snapchat. I know all of these things. And they're always like, okay, so what is the best phone monitoring app out there? I know you're aware of all of those things. Which one? Bark? I mean, they name all these things. And I say the best monitoring app is you, the parent. That is 100% the best app that you can have, is parent involvement. And that does not mean banning your kids from social media. Like you said, that does not mean that. So what I mean is be proactive, be interactive with your child and their social media. So what that can mean is when they're younger, maybe only letting them have Instagram, maybe in middle school, but it's on the home iPad only. They are not allowed to have it on their phone if they have a phone. And it has to be logged in only on the one that you have access to. Maybe starting with that. And then as they get their own phone, when they have social media, then you can log in to their Instagram app account on your phone. So as a parent, you can have Instagram and have your account, and then you can add account and log into your children's account where you can flip-flop back and forth. So I did that. I still have that on my high schooler. And so when she gets a friend request on Instagram, I see it. When it was in middle school, when she first got it, I would see them first, and I would delete some of those friend requests that I knew clearly she did not know who they were before she even saw it. I would see it first because I was on there being aware and being proactive. Do a contract with your kid. So I type out a social media contract. You are not allowed to post anything on a friend of a friend before you get their permission. So again, this was in middle school. So many middle schoolers didn't have social media, Instagram yet. So if you are posting a picture of your friend, many of them didn't have an account first. You have to get permission from their mom. That's what I used to say. If you are posting a picture of your friend with you, you have to get permission from their parent if they don't have social media of their own. So make a contract, you know, be aware, look at who their friends are. Are they people that you know? Because if they're not, delete them. You need to remove them because they are probably not just someone at a different school. They are probably somebody that is much older, not of the gender they say they are, and probably not even in the same city. So that's what I'm saying. You are the best app. Like, you have to be involved.
Which is hard because we don't have time for that. I mean, we're like, we don't have time, but it is so important. I mean, even like my kids' friends are like the most, I mean, they're the sweetest, whatever. But even some of the conversations sometimes on there, I'm like, huh. I'm like, how do we feel about that conversation? Like, let's talk about that. Snapchat, for instance, you know, a lot of parents don't know like the geo tracking. When like literally someone who's a friend of a friend can know where your kid is just by being friends with someone else. So if your kid is geo tracking, which basically is just like, hey, many times they're like, oh, I just want to know where my friends are. And so I want to get on Snapchat and see where they are. And I want them to see where I am. I'm at the movies and you're at the whatever. Well, also who's watching are so many other people. So I think parents just sometimes, I didn't know that until you kind of talked about that.
And so again, that's what I mean. But I don't mean by you have to be the most paranoid and controlling and, you know, helicopter parent. That's not what I mean. I mean, you have to be aware and involved. So I would say, though, that without a doubt, I think everyone in our field, law enforcement, people who are at Unbound, the Advocacy Center, anyone involved in this field would say probably the last app that you want your kid to have is Snapchat. And if they are going to get it, you hopefully have had years then of experience of talking to your children about the other less threatening social media apps, although all of them have their risks, including Instagram. So my kids started with Instagram, and my son and daughter were like literally the last of their kids' friends to get Snapchat at the age of 16. Now I kind of feel like we are shifting a little bit where parents now have heard so many talks about Snapchat and social media safety that a lot of them are like, my kids are not getting it for a long time. But the vast majority, the parents don't know anything about it. And they think Snapchat's just a lot of fun filters where you get to look all cute and stuff like that and have like kitten ears. It's not that. That's what we used to know Snapchat as years ago. Right. And they think, oh, Instagram's fine. We just post, you know, cute vacation pics and stuff. Lots of other different things, but if you are aware and monitoring, it can be okay. Forget about also just the huge time kill it is for our children and us as adults.
Oh, and I mean, we're not even talking about like the insecurity
and the addiction.
Addiction. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast, but just for these purposes, that would be something. And I would just say, like, if you're not savvy in social media, get savvy or don't let your kids be on social media. Like if you're not savvy on it and know all the kind of ins and outs, like just either don't let your kids be on there is what I would say. Okay. Well, we could be on here forever and I probably won't need to have you back on another thing to talk about just so many more things, but I really appreciate you being on here. Thank you so much for the work that you do. Where can people get to know you more if they're in this area? We have a lot of listeners who are out of the area, but we have some listeners who are in the area, how they can know about Camp Careful and some of the things.
So the best way to follow me in the work that I do and to potentially find me at some sort of an assembly or have me come and talk to private groups or your churches or organizations is through my Facebook page. So it's Facebook. It says Camp Careful - Dr. Sue Battle, and Sue is spelled S-O-O. Or you can email me at Dr. Sue, D-R-S-O-O, at campcareful.com. But really, the Facebook page is where I post, like where I'm doing assemblies at schools, or you can reach out to me on Facebook to see about having me come talk to your kids somewhere or in a group.
Awesome. We'll put that all in our show notes. Thank you, Dr. Battle. I'm sure I'll see you next week. But thank you for being on.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Dr. Battle. She is an incredible person and loves kids so very much. wants to help them. And I love this conversation with her. If you want to learn more about her or her Camp Careful organization, where she goes and talks to kiddos and parents, you can go to her Facebook, Camp Careful. You can also look on our show notes where we will have more information. Thanks so much for being with us this week. We hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you for being love and doing good in your homes and in your community. See you soon.